Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. John Carr, a lecturer with James Cook University at Townsville. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Carr.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been a long time to see a human being.
No doubt. As part of Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2020, with sessions at 1 p.m. Thursdays until December 3rd, you'll be discussing the topic African swine fever, an unrelenting threat to global hog production. First of all, a little bit of background. What is African swine fever? What are its animal health and economic implications? And what are the factors there?
Okay. African swine fever is a virus, like the COVID-19, in that sense. But African swine fever is a very old virus. The coronavirus has what's called RNA as its sort of chromosomes. African swine fever is another virus, but it has DNA. It comes from Africa. It's called African swine fever. And so it's a virus from Africa, affects swine, pigs, and it causes fever. And in some respects, that actually explains or describes what it does. And unfortunately, it kills. The virus is a very large virus. It's actually one of the largest viruses, and it's related to the pox virus, like smallpox. So it's a very large virus. There are a number of types of this virus. There's 24 different types. In 2007, about April the 26th, type 2 escaped from Africa and went to Georgia, as in the country just below Russia. And unfortunately, for various social reasons and political reasons, it really wasn't stomped on. And it has then spread into Russia. It has spread into the Baltic states, out of Russia, through the Ukraine, is playing absolute havoc in Eastern Europe. And it spread across the top of Russia, down through Mongolia, and then into China, and then into Asia. Now, this then causes enormous disease problems in these countries producing pork.
How has the global risk of the further spread of African swine fever changed? Over what time frames have those risks changed, and what are the factors that have been influencing that?
Okay, in some respects, and in also slightly answering the part of the first question as well, which I should emphasize, this disease affects pigs and the pig family. It doesn't just affect pigs as such, but it's the pig family. So warthogs and giant forest hogs in Africa. But it has no effect at all on any other mammal. It has no effect on dogs, cows, horses, people, absolutely no effect at all. It is just a pig problem. So how has it changed? Well, interestingly, being a DNA virus, it actually doesn't change. So the problem that started in Georgia is exactly the same problem as we have now in the Philippines or in Papua New Guinea. Or more recently in Germany as well. The virus basically hasn't changed at all. It unfortunately hasn't changed positively or negatively. So the clinical signs are still exactly the same as it was before.
What areas actually do remain free of ASF at this point, and what needs to be happening in those regions, and why?
Okay, we have, so African swine fever is from Africa. We've got 24 different types of this virus. This is the third large incursion out of Africa. So we've actually had it in the Americas. It's been in Brazil, it's been in Cuba, it's been in Dominican Republic. It's been in Europe twice. It's never been in Asia, it's never been in Canada, it's never been in the United States. It's never been in Britain, but it has been in places like the Netherlands. So it's in Spain. So it's been in large pig production areas before, and we have eliminated the virus. But it normally takes around 30 years for the virus to become controlled as such. There's as much politics about this virus as there is about the disease itself. At the moment, we have, you could argue, a naive population. The virus is moving around the planet, but an awful lot of that movement is because of people. It's it moves slowly because of pigs. Pigs are quite lazy creatures, really. They will go to the pub and they'll go back home. So, I mean, 5 kilometers is basically what pigs will do. But you do that over a year, you could end up with 30, 40 kilometers. So wild pigs are a potential problem, moving it slowly. The number one problem with African swine fever is that after the animal dies, the virus is still persistent in its meat and in its bones. Most diseases die with the animal. So if you die, then your diseases die with you. That unfortunately is not true with African swine fever. And so meat can be contaminated for 6 months, a year. Some of the hams that are smoked can be contaminated for a year and a half. And unfortunately then, if we have meat that is positive carrying the virus, and we then move that pizza across the planet, we will then move the virus with us. And then if some pig is unfortunate enough to eat that pizza as well, then unfortunately it will get African swine fever. And then the cycle starts again.
What are the potential consequences of introduction of ASF into an uninfected region? And how do the pork sectors need to be ready to deal with that eventuality?
Catastrophic would be. I mean, catastrophic. I mean, you can argue, oh, you know, it causes this much mortality. It's catastrophic. I mean, it would. It got into the Philippines, and on islands where it gets into the Philippines, with no control at all. I'm not saying the Philippines are not controlling, because they are trying very hard, but with no control at all, it just takes out the pig population. It is just catastrophic. The pigs that we farm, it is an interesting virus. The pigs in Africa, the African pigs, are immune to this, but the European pigs are not at all. And it has two major problems. One, it kills very quickly, and it'll kill around 70% of the pigs. Can be down at 30%, can be at up to 100%. The government, if it kills 70%, the government comes along and kills the rest anyway. So it depends on how you look at mortality. I mean, this is a notifiable disease. The government would have to kill all the pigs on the farm as quickly as possible. But the big problem with actually is the pigs that live. So it killed 70% of your pigs, but you've got 30% that are survive. But those 30%, some of them become persistently infected for life. And then when they have babies, they can give the infection to their babies. And so the disease trundles on, causing devastation. The other problem with African swine fever, unlike PED, where, as from a Canadian point of view, we've been struggling with PED. So PED is catastrophic or disastrous. I'll put PED down as the disastrous category. But it kills everything below 10 days of age. It doesn't do anything for mum and dad. So you've got a major loss of production, got all those costs and everything else. But I can put mum and dad back together, I can then have more babies, and the system continues. So in a year, I'm basically back to where I was, and I can then try to eliminate or live with the PED problems or whatever. With African swine fever, it is indiscriminate. It kills everything. Mum, dad, babies, piglets, wieners. And so you've got nothing left. So if you go to places like Vietnam, my number one problem with my Vietnamese clients is, where do I buy new gills? And this isn't even considering the time effort, you know, in the sense that I've killed everybody, cleaned the farm, I have put some sentinels in to prove that the farm is actually negative. I've convinced the government that I'm actually can go back into farming. That's what the Koreans farmers have had trouble with, and not being told to go and do turkeys or something else. So I've started again. I've got myself some gilt from where, because all the animals around me are potentially positive. So anyway, I bought myself gilt. I then got to get them to 7 months, 8 months. I then got to get them bred. I've then got to. So you're looking at 2 years, 3 years. I mean, this is a long time. And for a mum and dad team, this is when it's catastrophic, because a mum and dad team just cannot have the resources. And so what is happening in Asia is people come back in too quick. I get pigs from Joe down the road. He seems to be fine, but he's not. And so I do 6 months, and then they die again. And this is the slow grain, the slow grind, really, that really can kill your small producers and your large producers. I mean, how big is your pockets?
In these uninfected regions, just how prepared are pork producers?
One of the advantages of African swine fever, this is not new. This has been around forever. I mean, literally ever. I mean, like millions of years we've had the African swine fever. The risk to the Canadian industry, in some respects, is no greater today than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It all relies on, one, stupidity, ignorance, and our border patrol. We cannot allow this virus to enter North America. And in some respect, COVID-19 helps, because there's less trade in terms of people, but there's still trade in terms of equipment. But Canada, not really buying that much meat from anywhere else in the world. And it's not pork anyway. So from a Canadian point of view, I don't really perceive the risk as being any greater. There are awareness levels, and I work with a lot of Filipino workers in Canada. Great guys, fantastic workers. They really love their pigs, but I have to be aware that the Philippines has a major African swine fever outbreak ongoing. And the problem we all have, and being English, I'm just the same. You know, I like English chutneys. I like Branston pickle. And, you know, and if I can't find them in the local store in Winnipeg, then, and mum gives me some chutney. So then I, you know, you think, ah, oh, you know, it's only a little bit of chutney. And, but we have to be, that you have to sort of educate the staff on the farm. The mum's sausage, I appreciate mum's sausage is much, much better than you can buy down at the supermarket, but it's just too risky. And what I do, I mean, my Ukrainian guys when I finish on my farm, they quite often will give me a big bag of sausages, like a shopping cart, sausages. And I love it. I mean, it's variety of types of sausages and meats and everything else. And I smile and I thank them greatly. Pre-COVID, we would have a hug. Now we have to touch elbows. Although, truth, I'm not going at all, because we can't fly anywhere. But even then, so what I had to do was, you'd go back to the hotel, and then I'd give it to the staff in the hotel, because I can't possibly take it back to England. I can't take it to Canada. I can't take it. I can't take it to the next town in the Ukraine. I mean, but I got to take it off the. I might have one sausage, for my lunch or something. But the reality is that I can't possibly do anything with it. But you can't not take it, because then it looks like a height of bad manners. And from a Canadian point, just to make it from a Canadian point of view, we have a major problem with this. I do a lot of work in the colonies. Fantastic guys, just the same. And I've been in the colony dinner, and we can have sausage from whole loads of different colonies. And so you don't have to go too far. You don't have to go to the Ukraine to think about this. But you have summer sausage. All the colonies make summer sausages, then they share them. You know, oh, my summer sausage is better than your summer sausage. And it's the simple act of giving, of sharing, could be catastrophic. Unfortunately, I've seen it elsewhere in the world. And the Chinese are just the same. They, you know, Chinese farmers. I was at a dinner, whatever, a year ago, year and a half ago, with some Vietnamese clients in Hanoi. And all the farmers turned up with their own meat to impress each other. You know, like, boys, there's food on the menu. But now they all, you know, oh, Harry, have a taste of this. And I'm shaking my head thinking, guys, you can't do this. You just cannot do this. The biosecurity won't allow it. The bottom line is, with me going on and on, the bottom line is our border control people. We've got to do everything we can to support our border control people. Canada's health, pig health, relies at the border. If it gets through that border, we have another set of problems. The Canadian herd is not set up for controlling African swine fever in any shape or form. It would be disastrous, catastrophic, let alone all the political issues. I mean, Germany has started off with one case of a dead wild pig and loses the Chinese market. I mean, Canada has one dead wild pig in Nova Scotia and loses the Chinese market. I mean, it just cannot happen. Nobody's fault. I mean, it cannot happen. It just cannot happen. We've just got to make sure that the virus stays where it is. As I say, the risk to Canada, I don't really perceive the risk to Canada being any greater today than it really was yesterday or the day before. But we have to be aware that meat coming in from infected countries will have a percentage that is positive.
What are the priority items that the pork sector needs to keep top of mind, and why?
Well, from an individual farm perspective, what I would be concentrating on is ensuring that the farm staff understand the risk of bringing pork products onto the farm. So let's take the scenario where a Chinese grandma brings some pork products from home, is not detected at the border, and gets to Vancouver. There's still a hell of a lot of distance between her apartment, her son's apartment in Vancouver, and a pig farm. But let's assume that the son's friend works on a pig farm in just outside Calgary. So you're creating a chain of events. But it doesn't matter if the guys are all eating grandma's pork products, as long as those pork products don't get onto the farm. But those pork products could fall onto your knee, for example. And then if you then don't change your clothes, you go into the barn and the pigs could lick your feet, lick your knee. I mean, the virus is very, very small. It could be on your hands. So for instance, hunters are a particular threat to a farm if they are handling a wild pig that is positive. And in my talk, I'll give a few stories, some horror stories of how African swine fever has entered some farms, particularly in the Ukraine and Russia. Through stupidity is one word, but naivety would be, you know, people just don't realize just how easy it is. You know, I have blood on my hands from butchering a wild pig. I then go into the farm. I don't bother to wash my hands properly. And then I handle the pig food, and then I feed the pigs. And the virus goes from the wild pig onto my hands, into the pig food, into the pig. Now I've got an African swine fever outbreak. But what can the individual farmer do? Just be as clean as you can. No pork products onto our pig farms in Canada. And wash your hands well. Ideally, I would change my outer clothing. But one of the things about African swine fever and COVID-19 is they both have a fatty envelope around the virus. And so actually soap and water is very effective against African swine fever, as it is against COVID-19. The viruses don't transmit very far. They're both viruses are kissing viruses. So maybe we should stop kissing pigs. That might be, you know, just go to elbow tapping our pigs instead. Well, they might bite your elbow. But fundamentally, do not take pork products onto the farm. So then if the border guys have missed Granny with her beautiful Chinese dim sums, they stay in Vancouver. They don't get onto one of our pig farms. And if you wash your hands well, as I say, then that's good for our health anyway, from COVID-19 and influenza and everything else. And B, it does reduce the risk of infecting our farms. And Canada we still have a little bit of a PED outbreak. And so the PED and COVID-19 are the same family of viruses. So everything we're doing for COVID-19 can only help our PED control as well.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I love Canadian pork. And as soon as I can get these damn vaccines going, I am on my way to eat some fantastic food in Canada. From a sensible point of view, we have a duty of care. Asia has a catastrophic problem at the moment. Pork is the number one, as it should be, pork is the number one meat protein on this planet. 40% plus meat protein eaten today is pork. So I wake up this morning, and you're going to go to bed soon, but I wake up this morning and I have 3 billion people to feed today and every day. We have a duty of care to look after the kids, feed the kids, and great Canadian pork is a fantastic food for our kids. We've got to protect the Canadian industry from African swine fever, and we've got to support our Asian friends in this hour of need. And the Canadian pork industry is feeding the world, as it always has done every day. But just at the moment, I think we have a bigger responsibility to help feed our Asian friends.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you guys in a couple of days.
I will too. Our guest has been Dr. John Carr, a lecturer with James Cook University at Townsville. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.